and the name Peter was never a name before Jesus gave it to Peter. And it means, everybody knows Peter means rock, but they think it means a big boulder. Rock, like you'd find on the side of the street. Small rock is a different word for big rock. Anyway, Peter, even though I'm really not going to go into this, Peter was affected by our topic this morning, which is faith and trust. Peter claimed to have faith in Jesus. But did he trust him? Keep that in the back of your mind. Trust. What do we mean by that simple little word? Something we know about someone. They're going to follow through with something. Faith. What do we mean by that simple little word? Faith is believing in something that you have not seen. Back in the 70s, when I was in youth groups, we went on retreats. Did you ever go on a retreat when you were a kid? A whole bunch of, Back then, the old folks, people 60 and older, the old folks, maybe 50 and older, the old folks, they didn't always approve of our retreats. Be careful with them. Don't get in trouble. Can't let them kids get out of our hands. We were at a I guess it was a retreat once, and it was, they refused to allow the girls to wear bikinis, or, you remember this, Maranatha, or tight single bathing suits. And over the loudspeakers at lunch one day came an announcement, all girls must wear t-shirts over their bathing suits so as not to cause our brothers to fall. Remember that one? We were at this conference, and we had four baby parrots we were feeding in the closet. Well, crazy place. Anyway, we had lots of activities at these, most of which the old folks did not approve of. Role-playing games and bonding experiences, of course, all that heathen music that we played. Well, they didn't understand. They really didn't, because can we truly understand a following generation? I don't know what's going on with this thing. A following generation. I think that Andrea and I understand our son's generation pretty well, because we lived with them at the time. There were a lot of people that were around, so we got them. Plus, the fact that they were nowhere near as rebels as we were, it's easier to pick up on that. But the old folks in my day didn't understand, so they didn't trust these experiences and things that we were doing. But one of the things that we tended to do, as far as I was concerned too often, were trust walks. You ever been on a trust walk or even heard of one? Trust walk is when I take Andrea, we go outside somewhere, and I blindfold her. And then we walk around without me touching her. And I'll say, okay, you got a hole in front of you, so take a step two feet forward. There's no hole there. Or you go through the woods, I said, okay, duck down, there's branches coming. They don't believe you, and guess what? They run into branches. It's actually an interesting concept, and it works sometimes. It didn't do much for me, really. But these people who were leading you could play with you. And that was part of it, too, was to say, okay, I'm leading Andrew around, she's blind. How nice am I going to be? How good of a guide am I going to be? Am I really going to try to make sure that she's not going to get hurt? It's interesting. But then, we had another thing. Take something, put them on a chair. Standing up. Other folks gather around them. They do this. And fall over backwards with their eyes closed. They're falling, hopefully, into their arms of their friends. I never liked that one. Not because I had no faith in my friends that they would try to catch me, but I did not trust their ability to hold on to me once they caught me. And I did not want to fall down, go boom. Falling down, go boom off a chair backwards is... Only the bravest, also read stupidest of us, stood on a chair. Most of us just stood on the floor and went backwards. People did get hurt on occasion, but not because of the desire of the catchers or the guides. And not nobody ever, as far as my experience, and I've done this many places, many different kids, I've never had anyone fall down, go boom, and crack their head open on a slab. Mostly because we made sure that there were plenty of people there, and even if they couldn't catch them, they would land on top of them. So nobody got hurt. I guess that those kind of exercises did help in bonding, making friendships closer. And the thing is, the mistakes and the oopses, okay, Andrew, take a step 18 inches forward, and this time there really was a hole there, and she didn't step far enough, but she trusted me. It was just that she's got short legs. So she didn't quite get there. And so she stumbled. I caught her. I'm making that up. So I don't think we ever did that, did we? But it helps. And the mistakes and oopses, like I said, she stumbles, and she'd say to me, I'd say, are you okay? She said, did you do that on purpose? No. And you grow that way. That is what is called experience. So it's funny, when you see somebody looking for a job or a job ad, and they want somebody with experience, and they're not willing to give a brand new person a job because they have no experience. How do you get experience? Except by having a job. It is necessary in our lives, as functional people and as Christians, to develop both faith and trust. Consider a bridge. Not a bridge to nowhere, but a bridge over a wide river. You can barely see the other side. You see other people walking across it. You see cars driving across it. Don't break. Doesn't wiggle, doesn't fall down. You observe this. So experientially, yeah, observationally anyway, you can say, this bridge is strong. Whether it's made out of concrete or toothpicks glued together, cars go across it, the bridge is strong. It held up in the past. It should hold up in the future, at least the nearby future. That is trust. It's something you've learned by evidence. Now, imagine that you're going up there crossing the bridge, and quite confidently, you're walking on the bridge. Look up. The fog has rolled in. Where's my hand? You can no longer see the other end of the bridge, eventually not even the pavement at your feet. Clearly, you still believe the bridge is strong. Nothing has changed with the bridge because the fog's coming. But now you have a choice because you don't know how many potholes or bumps there are on the surface of that bridge that you can't see. So you have a choice to proceed on through the fog or go back. When you step onto the bridge and continue going anyway, that's faith. Trust looks backward, experience and observation, which faith then utilizes in life, looking forward and stepping into what's ahead. Faith does not begin with understanding. I won't see it until I believe it. Wait a minute. That right? I don't see it until I believe it. No, I won't believe it until I see it. That's what Thomas said. I got to put my fingers in his hole, my hand in his side. But faith is not necessary full understanding. You might know everything about that bridge, how old it is, what it's made from, etc. So you know it's safe. other things in life aren't quite so clear-cut. So when you walk in faith and in trust, you get there eventually, where you're going, with adventure. But this is the bottom line. Trust looks backwards at everything God has done. You open the Bible, you read the great acts of God. That causes us to continue in our faith, which looks forward. Sometimes they're interchangeable, but not really synonyms, but they are interrelated. Faith sometimes does come instantly. Consider the thief on the cross. Two of them next to Jesus. One of them was reviling him. The other one was listening to him, talking to him, observed him. And through God's grace, that thief immediately had faith. Maybe he had trust, too, because of what he had heard, but he had the faith. But faith is a trust created by God and sustained by his promises. As I said, those stories in Scripture we read. The Exodus, Daniel in the lion's den, Peter and Silas in jail. All those stories where God has shown himself faithful. Not even miraculous ones, just God protecting the Israelites as they conquered Canaan, things like that. As trust grows, as experience happens, as you learn more things, faith increases. And faith looks away from yourself. Not what I did. Not what I was going to do. Let's see if I can get this right. This is not written down, but it just hit me. I watched this the other day on a reel on Facebook. Preacher's up there and he said, come to a man and you say to him, are you going to go to heaven when you die? Man says, I believe so. How come? And the man says, because I have faith. Preacher's wrong answer. How many times have you heard me say something like, you have grace, you have faith through grace, and that's, you know, you get to heaven. And the man looks dumbfounded. No, it's not because that you have faith. That's something what you did. It's because he did. He gave you that faith. He gave you that grace. And then this preacher referenced the man on the cross. Said he had nothing. And God gave him that grace instantaneously. You get that. And truth and trust and example grows. Look at John's disciples we read about this morning. He describes Jesus to them as the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. You're not a Jewish person at that time. You might go, what's he talking about? But they would understand. Two of his disciples follow Jesus and leave John behind. It's kind of interesting, isn't it? You leave things behind and you follow the way. And catch up to Jesus. And says, hey, teacher, what's up? He says, what are you seeking? They were showing their faith. And then he said, come and see where I'm going. Come and see what I'm going to do. And they follow, they abide, they witness. Faith began right there. With John's proclamation of who Jesus was, and they recognized, they believed, faith started there. Not with understanding, yet enough to follow the way of the word that calls. And that word is Jesus. When you get that faith, when you get that understanding of who that is, it opens ourselves up into perceiving and understanding and exposing the world to all the false trusts we have. Oh, yeah, I'm fine. I got $10 million in the bank. I'm living on the interest. No deals. You know, I don't have to worry about working. I'm only 20 years old. What do I have to worry about Alzheimer's for? Worldly security, success, certainty. You follow that path and you're going on a rough road. Not. That's the easy way. Following through the world the hard way. Following God. Living out your life, sharing that life, sharing Jesus with people, that's the tough road. That's the narrow road. Not the easy road that leads to destruction, but the narrow road that leads to heaven. And you do that by trusting God living on faith and following the narrow way. Faith at its core is learning. Hey, we're going to have a Sunday school class. Faith at its core is learning again and again. That shows that trust is in God, because God has never failed. God's Lamb truly took away our sin, and God's purpose will stand surely in spite of what happens in the world. It's the only way to go. That's correct. So again, Jesus turns to these two guys and say, Rabbi, and he says again, what are you seeking? What are you seeking? That's the question of faith that we all have to answer. A lot of people say, I'm going on a spiritual journey. What are you looking for? Not sure. Spiritual stuff. No. What are you seeking? The question of faith is this. Trust that grows. The question isn't, what are you avoiding? When the disciples came up to Jesus, John's disciples said, what's happening? He says, not what are you avoiding, what are you fearing, but who or whom are you trusting? That's the second bottom line. First one's over here, second one's over here. Who are we to trust? Think about politicians. Who wants to trust a politician? Not many are trustworthy. You can have faith in somebody. I have absolute faith in her. I have the experience to know what she will and will not do. I have faith in Bob in some things. In others, not a clue. But I do have enough faith in him that I trust him. If he says, yeah, I can do that, I will believe him. It's growing. It's growing together. That's why last night was important. Friday night was important. We got together as people. Yeah, we're people here too, but we're in a different setting. We're in a setting of worship. A time that we should be thinking, looking at God. These words are supposed to be for you to focus on where God is in your life. How you focus. That movie was a great movie. The second time we watched it was third. Not that often. But I saw so many things in there last night I did not see before. I thought it was interesting that... Did you see, remember the scene where the young girl, the Arabic girl, was listening on her bed to her iPod and her little brother came in and stole it? What was she listening to? Very good, Doc. She was listening to something on 1 Corinthians. Anybody else catch that? It was interesting. Our passage for 1 Corinthians this morning. But little details like that popped up in that movie. It's amazing. The guy who died from the car accident, I guess he had his faith restored. He trusted in a preacher guy. Because he probably knew who he was. He was, campus minister. So he trusted in him that he was being told the truth after all that mess. Look at that kid Martin, the Chinese guy. If you caught it, he came from the PRC, the People's Republic of China. It's Communist China, Red China. God does not exist. Guess what? God exists all over, up, down, sideways in China. I know, I've been there, seen it. This guy was raised to be an atheist. And yet, God allowed him to see through Wheaton's presentations and the devil there, the professor, devil loses. Interesting, isn't it, that the professor did repent at the end as he was dying? Here's a question for you. Can Satan repent? Can Satan be saved? Can. Probably. Will be. Probably not. Because of his own arrogance and pride, he will never do that. But here's the end thing for you. Faith is believing. Trust is acting on that belief. You have faith in a bridge, you trust it to hold you. Faith is given, trust is earned. How many times have you come across where someone has broken your trust? And you say to them, well, I can forgive you, but it should take a long time for me to trust you again. Trust is earned. God has earned it. Not really. He had it instantly. But for us, we had to learn that he earned it. Jesus' invitation is simple and profound. Come and see. God calls, God saves, and God sustains. Therefore, trust God and go and see. Amen. Let us confess together our faith and our trust in God.